Today's lesson is taken from Luke chapter 2, and we start reading from verse 1. I shall be reading from the NIV translation. Let us hear the word of God. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Here ends the lesson. May the Lord seal and bless to our hearts this portion of his word, and to his name be the praise, the glory, and the honor this day and forever.
Amen. I'm gonna try and be short today, but I'm not making any promises. But I'm trying. Aya, you look fantastic. You look absolutely fantastic. And now she's hiding, as she should. But do yourself a favor and just look at the little elf there next to her granddad. The reason why I want to be short is because I know you've all got plans. You've got meat to sacrifice, family members to see. Have you guys received your gifts yet? Not yet. Okay, so I'm keeping that in the back of my mind. So I cut off about 2 hours of the sermon. Okay, so just so that you know. This is a well-known story, and part of just this time together is where we celebrate God's generosity. You all know what Jesus said, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. You know, the fact that God loved and therefore he gave, that's why we have Christmas. That's why they're going to have Christmas gifts just after church, hopefully. If it takes longer, just phone me. I'll speak to your parents. Those type of things. You know, there's generosity. There's fun. There's relaxation. You even tolerate those family members that you don't like that much. I'm not looking at anybody particularly, but it's just you know what I'm talking about. That this is the time, and this is such a well-known story. The whole story of Jesus' birth, and we come together to celebrate it. But there is good news for it in three groupings. Now, two of the groupings came from the story that we've just read. I just want to give you a heads up. I'm going to steal from Matthew 2. Because there's a third grouping, that if you look at these three groupings and you look at what's the common denominator there, then you realize that there's tremendous good news for us in today, in just being here today. So, first grouping, Joseph and Mary, the husband and wife. They were married or betrothed, or but they, you know, Mary was pregnant. Now, for those of you who were here last week, I've explained, taken some time to explain to you why that would have made life difficult for them. But in essence, when the community of Nazareth found out Mary was pregnant before she was fully married, no God-fearing Jew in that town could do business with Joseph. They couldn't go to synagogue. They could do nothing. They were outcasts in that whole community, living for the rest of their lives under the burden of shame. Now, if they were not poor before the time, they were very quickly going into poverty. And they had to take a 3-day journey from Bethlehem, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And there, you know the story, there was no place for them in the inn, and the scholars are not sure. They fight, you know, should it be 25 December? Is it not 25 December? Was it 4 BC? Was it 0 BC? Should you have Christmas trees? Was it a cave? Was it a stall? We don't know. All we know is it's a fair assumption to say that when the King of Glory stepped into our world, it was close to animals. That's what we know. Whether it was in a cave or in a manger or whatever. You know, that's what we know. It wasn't the place that you would expect. That's the one thing we know. Second group are the shepherds. Shepherds are the guys that the angels... I'm going to ask God why he sent Gabriel first. You know, but he sent Gabriel. Gabriel comes and speaks to them. And he tells them, hey chaps, got some news. Tells them the news. And then all of a sudden there's this choir of angels in heaven singing, which must have been quite a show. You know, it's sort of like a U2 show, but just better. And they're singing, and the shepherds go to the manger / cave, whatever you want to call it, and there they find what was said to them. Here's the problem. The shepherds were the guys that were, if you were a God-fearing Jew in that time, there were a lot of things that you had to do. So, for instance, you had to pray X amount of times during the day, and you had to wash your hands vigorously, not in an OCD way, but in a ritual way. So you had to wash your hands, you had to be clean. You had to avoid animals in general, you know, because they were dirty. And so what happened was the shepherds were the guys that the really, you know, the people of status, they frowned upon them. To such an extent, although they could legally come into the synagogue or the temple, the people actually didn't want them there. You know, they gave them that look. The same type of look that Dean is going to get when he starts wearing that a British and Irish Lions shirt that Justin bought for him from England. You know, the moment you wear that shirt, people just look funny at you. You know, now that was the similar thing. So they weren't welcome. They were actually despised. People looked down on them. You know, so they were the guys that God says, okay, I'm going to reveal to you guys first. The one that were rejected. They were good enough to employ. They could do the work for you, but they couldn't join you at church. That's how it worked. You know, they were the shepherds. Third group I steal from Matthew 2, the Magi, the wise men from the east. How far east they came from, we don't know. These guys were slightly different. They were rich enough so that nobody would immediately chase them out of Jerusalem or wherever they went. So clearly they had resources. But their problem was they were foreigners. They weren't Jews. They were different. You know, they didn't quite fit in. And between these three groupings, the young couple who, not by their own fault, got thrown into a life which none of us actually would want to live, undeserved shame, poverty. You got the shepherds, the people that people thought, no, you're good enough to look after my sheep, but I'm not even going to greet you in the street and you're not going to be a welcome at church. And then the foreigners, these guys that nobody had an idea, they were the three groupings that sort of zoom in the story that you see that are present at the birth of Christ. When God decides to step into our world through the birth of his son. And the beautiful thing about it is when God stepped into his world, into our world, he didn't force himself. He didn't force himself. He didn't announce it. It wasn't like a banner that sprung up over to Bethlehem or Jerusalem that said, hey, chapsting, neon lights, the Savior is born. None of those things. The three groupings were people who invited God to work in their lives by overcoming offense. They invited God into their lives by overcoming offense. Now, I'm going to take a jump now just to explain to you what I mean. Do you know John the Baptist was? Never met him personally, but I've read about him in the Bible. Quite an intense guy. But John was Jesus' cousin. And he was the one that God used to prepare the way for the Messiah. And he by divine revelation, realized Jesus is the Messiah. And John was so convinced that even his followers, he had quite a crowd following, he said, okay, go and follow that guy. He's the real deal. So they started following Jesus, John's disciples. But then John got thrown into prison because he made some political comments, ended up in jail. While he was in jail, he started wondering about the most important question. How can you know? How can you know he's God? So he sent some of his disciples to Jesus. Says to him, Jesus, question. Not us. John wants to know. How can we know that you are God? How can we know that you're the one? How can we know that you're the Messiah? And typically in the Jesus fashion, he doesn't answer him immediately. Starts doing stuff, you know. Doing stuff, healing people, you know, doing Jesus stuff. And then once he's finished doing that, he answers them. And his answer is amazing because in it is, I think, a key for us. Because he says to the disciples, okay, here's how you know. Go and tell John what I did, but also what I didn't do. Tell him what I did, but also what I didn't do. And then, blessed is the one who's not offended because of me. Now, the word offended there is where we get our word scandal from. Scandalizio is actually the Greek word there, which comes from the idea of anger, shock, or offense taken when somebody does something that is not expected, that it's not the way that it's supposed to be. When something is supposed to be this way and somebody does something else and you're angry or shocked or offended because they dare to do it that way, not the way that you expect, that's the word that was used there. Now, that offense where Jesus says to John, blessed are you, John, if you're not offended if I do things the way that you think I should do them. Now look at our three groupings. It's not the way it's supposed to happen. The King of Glory, amongst the animals, born there, what the hell? Why the shepherds? Why not the priests? Why the guys that nobody... It's not supposed to happen that way. Why the wise men? Why the prophecy to guys that are not even Jewish? You know, they just saw this celestial phenomenon, that thing. And they went, they followed it, and they linked it to a prophecy about a Jewish king that was going to be born. Why these guys? This is not the way that it's supposed to happen. And everybody else were doing their own thing, except these three groupings. These three groupings. Mary, for instance, being called the blessed amongst all women, who signed up for a life of shame? How does that work? By stepping over offense, by stepping over that thing of, Lord, I'm not going to tell you how you should do life, how things should happen for me. By stepping over that, they invited God into their lives, and they became part of the birth of Christ. By stepping over offense, by laying down their right to tell God how he should do it and what their expectation was. Interesting thing about them is none of them and their circumstances actually changed. If you think about it, Mary and Joseph had to go back to Nazareth where things were not easy, probably struggled with poverty for the rest of their lives. The shepherds were, after they had seen this, they left, and guess what happened? Still weren't welcome in the temple or in the synagogue. People still looked down on them. Wise men went back to wherever they came from. Nothing in their circumstances changed except one thing. They all left with hope. They all left with hope, singing the praises of God because they knew God was busy. They could see he was busy. Today is Christmas. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. You should enjoy it. Even those, if you don't know who the weird family member is, you're probably that one, okay? But even the weird family members, you should enjoy them. That is how life is. You should, and if the people come and drink too much of your wine or whatever, just today is the day to be generous, okay? You bless them. This is what Christmas is about. You know, you're supposed to do that. But the thing I want you to hear today is that the promise of God, the gift of God, the offer, the invitation of God to you and me is, hey, do you want some hope? Do you want to have some hope? Then invite him in. Invite him in. But how do you invite him in? By laying down your right to say, this is how I think you should do it. By saying to him, Lord, I follow you. Doesn't make sense. I trust you. In that process of not taking offense, God generates hope because you and I will then know he's busy. We don't understand how, but we're just positioned to see the gift of his son, him stepping into our world, not by force, but by invitation. That releases hope in a world, let's be honest, that currently struggles with hopelessness. So that's God's offer and his gift to you and me. There was a church many years later, decades later, that was quite an influential church. They had everything that opened and closed, and they liked to call the shots. They are the ones who said, this is how things are supposed to be. And then John, the other John, not the Baptist, the one who wrote about himself, I'm the guy Jesus liked, the most, you know, that's that John, the apostle. He was trapped on a little island called Patmos. And there he had an encounter with Jesus and heaven that just blew his socks off. I mean, say it's the type of thing that you fall flat on your face and you think you're dead or dying, you know. And while that was taking place, God spoke to him about this one church, the Church of Laodicea. The ones who like to call the shots, who said, well, you know, this is how things are supposed to be. This, you know, this is life. We look at all our resources, we're doing our own thing. And Jesus speaks to John and he says, these guys are lukewarm. If they were hot or cold, it would have been better. But because the in-between doesn't work. And then Jesus speaks, as he speaks to John, he says, but look, I'm standing at the door, knocking. Whoever invites me in, I will come in and I will dine with him. Don't be offended. Don't allow the thing that you can tell God what you think how life should happen or what should keep you from inviting Him in and having hope established in your life. Does that make sense? Amen. Let's pray. Father, You're a good God, and we love You. And thank You, Jesus, for stepping into our world. Despite all the expectations and despite how we thought everything should be, just stepping in and inviting us into Your world and into a life of hope. My prayer for each one of us, Father, is that as we celebrate friends and family and gifts and generosity and take a break just from the normal busyness, that in this time we will hear Your invitation, that we will open up our hearts and lay ourselves down as living sacrifices and say, "Here I am, Lord, use me." But that we will beware not to try and dictate to You how life should happen. Keep us from being offended. And in the process, pour out hope, pour out Your blessing. We trust You, we love You, and we're so grateful for the gift of Your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.